station AM 1300 WMEL. WMEL Radio has covered every shuttle launch. You counted on us to be there during the hurricanes that hit the Space Coast 6 years ago. And you turned to us for courtroom drama of the Casey Anthony murder trial. Locally owned and operated and serving the Space Coast with issues that matter the most were AM 1300 WMEL.
This September 11th, join me, Tom Brokaw, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra at Temple Square for 9/11, Rising Above. The choir's music and everyday Americans tell how our nation has risen from the ashes of tragedy to meet the new challenges of the 21st century. Mark the 10th anniversary of this tribute to the American spirit, 9/11, Rising Above.
Sunday, September the 11th at 9 a.m., exclusively on AM 1300 WMEL. And WMEL time is 12:36. Time for the Information Overload Hour to continue. And with the Thursday edition of the Information Overload Hour, here's Donna Anselmo. Donna?
Thank you, John. This is Donna Anselmo, and welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio, where we provide insight, strategies, tips, and tools for your business success. Today, our special segment is on the topic of going global, and this is the fifth in a series of shows we've been doing to help our listeners figure out what they can do differently in their businesses to tap into a new market, and if they decided to take their market abroad and take their business abroad, where and how they would do that. So over the course of the last several weeks, we've been speaking with experts, providing an overview and providing some very deep insight into some of the issues surrounding the area of international business. Today, we have with us Charlie Newman, who is an international business expert that has spent a 50-year-plus career refining steps that bring people together to make alliances succeed. And what he's done in his business is really develop a broad spectrum of experience in various disciplines that range from purchasing, finance, product planning, export planning, business planning, and international business development. On behalf of the Ford Motor Company and his other clients, Mr. Newman has successfully negotiated a variety of joint ventures, licensing agreements, acquisitions, and divestitures across the world. Today, he has agreed to speak with us about some of the strategies that he has used to cultivate success for companies doing business internationally. Charlie Newman, thank you for being with us today.
Well, Donna, thank you. It's a pleasure. Okay. Share some of these experiences and hopefully provide some pointers to the audience.
Well, I'm sure we're going to do that. And what I'd like to do is talk first a little bit about your business experience. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you extended Ford Motor Company into new markets across the pond and a little bit about what your role and what some of the things you had to think about in doing that business entailed?
Sure. Let me be honest about it. Ford had an international presence, but they were only in the automotive business at the time. I joined them back in the early 60s. I was fortunate in that they sent me abroad within 3 years of my joining the company, and I spent time in Argentina and Venezuela. And while there, I realized that there are different ways of doing business in each country. I had also had the opportunity while in the military to spend a couple years in Japan, and that too is a different environment for doing business. When I returned to the U.S. and joined a new organization, I realized that their focus was purely on Southeast Michigan. And I brought a slightly different perspective. If you recall, any of you out there that may be old enough, in 1969, we sent a man to the moon.
I think I remember that.
You think you remember? Unfortunately, I remember it only too well. But at that time, I realized that the way of approaching the world had radically changed. And since then, of course, with the advent of the internet, the world has become larger, but at the same time, it's become a lot smaller. And response time is a lot quicker. So The envelope is much larger than it used to be, and we really need to think about it that way. As I say, I joined Ford back in the U.S., and the focus was on Southeast Michigan. My focus was forming relationships internationally and taking a look at the pluses of doing so. I must admit, the first time I presented it to my general manager, he almost hammered me into the ground. He had absolutely no interest in going international.
And why was that?
I think there was a fear factor for someone that had never been outside the U.S. And I found that to be true not only at Ford, but with other clients that had never had any kind of a relationship outside the U.S. There was an overwhelming fear of having to go into a unique environment, not knowing the culture, not knowing the people, having a concern about how do I put something together in that environment. And I mentioned people, and you're going to hear a recurring theme when I talk about this, because the key to success, particularly when you're dealing internationally, is to relate to the culture and the people. If you don't go in with the perspective of forming a long-term and, in effect, a lifetime relationship, you will fail. Other cultures tend to build a social relationship first, and then they build the business relationship. We have a bad tendency to ride in like John Wayne, guns blazing, saying, let's get to the bottom line.
Well, I know, Charlie Newman, that we are going to be speaking about some of the things that we can do in planning for our business, in negotiating to get the kind of deals that work for different people. You have said a couple of things here in the past few moments that have been very interesting. One was you addressed the fear factor. And the most important aspect to overcoming fear, no matter what area of your life you're dealing with, is to gather the information that you need to make yourself successful, to figure out how you're going to address the issues or solve the problems. Because once you have the data that you need, it's very easy or much easier to overcome the fear, because the fear is based on the uncertainty. And when you've got the data to look at, it does reduce a lot of the uncertainty. We're speaking with Charlie Newman, who's president and COO of Strategic Alliances. And Charlie is an international business expert. So maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the skills that people need and that you particularly developed and found useful in developing the joint ventures and business partnerships internationally. You've just led us into a discussion about culture, and perhaps you can expand on that.
Sure. Let me give you an expression that I'm very fond of using. I've been using it all my life. It's called the chicken dance.
What exactly is that?
Every time you encounter a new person, you are participating in a chicken dance. And if you don't recognize it and understand it, you will be at a severe disadvantage. And this becomes probably even more important when you go outside the U.S. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. A chicken dance, in my opinion, in the way I use it, is nothing more than the actions and the antics people go through to position themselves. And what it is they go through and they maneuver themselves into a better position for the purpose of gaining something, whether it's control, power, or money. It goes on all the time in business and in your personal relationships. Let me give you a quick example. Anytime you go into a restaurant or a bar, just look over and watch what's going on between the male and the female. There's preening, there's primping, there's negotiating. It's a small microcosm of what goes on in the world. And we humans really aren't much different than the chickens in the barnyard. Who's attempting to become king of the roost or cock of the walk? And it doesn't differ much globally. And while it goes on everywhere, there are differences that come about due to differences in culture. Now, I'm not a chicken expert, but I have done a little bit of a study on them. I don't know whether the chicken breeds or the people came first, but let me tell you something about chicken breeds, and you can relate these to the cultures. The Ancona is an Italian chicken. It's described as active, flighty, and it has a marked wildness. Now, I don't know about the audience. I have a lot of Italian friends.
You're speaking to one.
Describes them. The Dorking is an English breed. It's described as calm, stately, gentle, and friendly. And I found the Brits to be pretty much that way. Let me tell you about an American breed called the Wyandotte. It's calm, it's industrious, it's normally docile, but it can turn aggressive. Some are friendly, some are aloof. I think that describes the U.S. pretty well.
Well, Charlie Newman, we're on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, your talk show host. And you are, as I know, but our listeners may not know, also the author of a book that came out about a year and a half ago called Beyond the Chicken Dance. And so your insight to this is way beyond what most people would imagine. And it's a very interesting concept. So can you talk a little bit about how those different personalities and attributes that you've just described in chicken breeds require different strategies? What's the message here for the
message,
listeners?
The message is very clear. Before you try and do business in another country, and you mentioned it earlier about getting the facts and getting the information, there are two arenas that you really need to focus on. One is the people and the culture. And that is critical. And I'll give you a perfect example. When I first started going to China 20 years ago, I had to study the culture. They are probably the world's best negotiators. And the chicken dance precedes every negotiation. But as I mentioned earlier, oftentimes in most foreign cultures, the social connection is paramount to begin the negotiation. I was at dinner one evening, and the mayor of the town was hosting our team because he wanted the formation of the company to take place in his town. And he made a very nice presentation about the fish we were about to have for dinner. And he went on to explain that it was very rare, very exotic, and very expensive. And when they served the fish, and you have to understand that until the guest of honor, and that happened to be me, would eat, no one else at the table could eat. When they separated the fish, the head and the tail were placed on a plate and put in front of me. Now, those aren't exactly my favorite portions of fish. But the mayor made an impassioned speech, and he said that if we're going to have a business relationship, it should have a good beginning and a good ending. And therefore, I'm giving you the best parts of the fish, the head and the tail. I had to negotiate a better piece of fish. And I said, but it's going to be a joint venture, so I think we should cut them in half and share them.
That was brilliant.
So you always have to be creative, and that's the one point I want to make. While there are no two deals that are identical, what you have to remember is negotiating is an art, it's not a sinus. But the key to success is to be creative, and I had to be very creative if I wanted to eat that night. But the message was clear, and the mayor accepted it very graciously. I was appealing to his approach to the relationship and the business. So that's one aspect. You have to study the culture before you go there. The second part is, to your point, Donna, about gathering facts and information. And the way to do that, and I'm a very process-oriented individual, and I propose that to each one of my customer companies. There are three processes that you truly need to go through if you're going to succeed. And this doesn't just apply outside the U.S. It's a global requirement. The three processes are business assessment, where effectively you keep pushing your company through a variety of filters, just like sifting soil. The first filter takes out the large branches and stones. The second filter is finer. It takes out the stones and the twigs. And finally, you get down to a very fine screen, and you've got the topsoil. And that's what you want. But you have to tie those pieces that you've strained to your vision of success. And the question you need to ask yourself is, what do I want to be when I grow up? What does success look like? Because if you don't have a succinct vision that everybody buys into, and then assess your business and see what pieces of your business support the vision and which ones don't, you'll never know what's core to your business. And even if you don't leave the U.S., I don't think you're in for long-term success, but particularly if you're going abroad, you then need to take it into the development stage. And the development stage comprises four sub-processes: planning, negotiating, managing, and continuous improvement. And each one builds on the prior step. And I wish we had another half hour so I could spend more time on that one.
Well, we can come back to another show and expand a little bit. This is Donna Anselmo, your host of Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300, the Talk to Me station. Today's segment is about going global in your business, and we're speaking with Charlie Newman, who's the president and COO of Strategic Alliances Consulting Group, Inc., and I know, Charlie, you happen to be based in Florida. Let's talk a little bit about your definition. You broached the word of success, and I know that in order to get to the definition of success, and for people to be able to understand what success means, it's really important to understand what that success means to the person at the other side of the negotiating table. I have heard you say that it's not just about having a finite pie, but it's about how you expand the pie. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. One of the other concepts that I try and introduce to each business association is making the pie bigger. And you need to get a mental image of this. The traditional approach to negotiating is for people to sit on opposite sides of the table. That sets up a confrontational atmosphere. Whether you approach it that way or not doesn't matter. It looks like you're on opposite sides of the table. And if you envision a pie in the middle of that table, the focus will be, how do I negotiate so that my piece of pie is bigger than the person on the other side?
So that makes it very competitive and adversarial.
Right. And it's kind of, I win, you lose. The problem with that is it does not lead to a long-term relationship, because the party that feels as though they're shortchanged will spend however long it takes to either try and get even or reverse the position wherein they end up with a larger piece of pie. So here's what I always did when I had the opportunity. If the negotiations were on my turf, I always arranged a round table. So there was no head of the table and there were no truly opposite sides. But even if you can't do that, rather than sitting on opposite sides of the table, I would physically get up, go to the other side of the table, make room for myself, sit next to the head of the team and say, look, here's the approach I would like to take. Why don't we put our heads together, look at the pie, figure out how the two of us can make it bigger, so that when we cut it in half, we both end up with a bigger piece. Now that's the concept. Whatever you're negotiating can be put in that context. Unfortunately, a lot of people that I approached with that didn't believe it.
Excuse me.
They thought I was trying to sell them a bridge in Florida. But the fact of the matter is, if you approach it that way, and if you're sincere, and if you have credibility, you will end up with a much better deal and a much longer-term relationship, because you need to think about this being a lifetime relationship. I always measured my success not by the amount of money we made, but with the long-lasting relationships. I still have friends that I did business with back in the 60s and 70s. And that's my reputation, and that's what I base my success on.
And so when you're doing business abroad and you're looking to build those relationships, is there a piece of parting wisdom that you would like to leave with our listeners? We have a little less than 2 minutes left, and I want to give you a chance to hammer it home.
Let me try and summarize. If you're going to succeed globally, no matter what you envision at the outset, things will have a way of changing, and they'll change throughout the time period. The people will change, the environment will change, government regulations will change, and the vision of success will change. The whole idea is to build yourself enough flexibility into your agreement to deal with change. And the second point is, and probably the most important point, is if you're going to develop alliances around the world, and I call them alliances, you need to have a very detailed business plan and answer one question first and foremost. Do I need an alliance, or can I do it alone?
Well, Charlie Newman, I want to thank you for being with us today. I know that people who would like to follow up and hear more about your thoughts on this subject can go to beyondthechickendance.com and look for your information, your blog, and your book. And this is Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300, the Talk to Me station, wrapping up today's segment on Going Global.
The Thursday forecast.
In Clark, we trust.
You should not be worried at all about money you have in a retirement account. If you're currently working, you contribute to every pay period, and you're years and years from retirement. Because if you look back over time, stock markets, not just here but overseas, always show this pattern. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And you harm yourself if you overreact because of short-term insecurity.
It's Clark Howard, weekday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. on AM 1300 WMEL. Worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
As we always say, when weather breaks out, we break in on your home for the Hurricane Hunters. AM 1300, award-winning WMEL.
It's Duke and the Doctor, weekday mornings 9 to 11 a.m. on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300, WMEL.
The Thursday forecast has...
Clark, we trust.
You should not be...
WMEL, Cocoa Beach, Melbourne.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm Michelle Wright. Leading our news this hour, a federal appeals court in Richmond, Virginia has overturned a lower court's ruling that found unconstitutional a key provision of the health care law championed by President Obama. The appeals court ruled Virginia lacked standing to challenge that law. Meanwhile, the president will unveil a new jobs package tonight. CNN's Brianna Keeler reports the Obama administration wants Congress to get the ball rolling quickly.
The White House saying that it will be next week delivering one bill, a comprehensive jobs package to Congress. But what's interesting is when you talk to people on the Hill, even Democrats admit it's very unlikely that Congress would pass a big singular bill.
However, not every lawmaker will be in the room for the president's speech tonight. Several congressional Republicans, including Congressman Joe Walsh, are boycotting the president's address, calling it a campaign speech.
I'm actually going to fly home this afternoon, and instead of attending his speech, I'm going to sit with 40 to 50 small businessmen and women, the job creators in this country. They're going to give me their recommendations, and I'm going to take them back to the president.
Meanwhile, Congresswoman and presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann will hold a news conference after the speech to give her reaction. Over in Libya, CNN's Ben Wiedemann has come upon a huge complex of buildings west of Tripoli containing vast amounts of equipment for protection against nuclear, chemical, or biological attacks, along with weapons.
The amount of material here is absolutely mind-blowing.